This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number three of Live Bet Sunday here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Femi Ebefe alongside Joe Serralo here with you guys as always on a Sunday afternoon. Make sure to watch us, VSiN.com/watch, the VSiN Watch app, and you can listen live on Sirius XM channel 158. A couple of quick score updates here. Joe and my Seattle Mariners have taken a lead against the Texas Rangers. So shout out to the Soto Mojo. Mariners up 5-3 in the seventh. We have a tie game between the Reds and the Cardinals that is no longer tied. Just as I said that, the Reds now have a 3-2 lead in the top of the 10th. And it looks like Jackson Coivin, barring some kind of epic disaster, should be able to win the 3M Open. Now, he has a two-shot lead, but Scotty is off the course. Hideki Matsuyama is off the course. Brian Harman is off the course. So it is now Coivin against himself, which can be dangerous sometimes. You know, it's like you are your own worst enemy at times. But we'll see if Jackson Coivin can close this out as a young 21-year-old to get his first PGA Tour win. So we'll keep you posted on that. We'll also talk some NFL training camp coming up in the next segment as well. But right now, joining us to discuss the WNBA post-All-Star break, he's a WNBA betting analyst, Terrell Furman, joining us via the Progressive Guest Line, and he's on Twitter at @ReallyRell__. Terrell, thanks as always for hanging out with us here on Live Bet Sunday. And I want to start off kind of big picture here, open-ended, if you will. What intrigues you the most about the WNBA post-All-Star break?
Oh, well, I think it starts at the top. And what do the Minnesota Lynx look like with Nafisa Collier coming back for the season? She played in one game right before the All-Star break, and she had, what, 20 points in that game? Like, so what does Nafisa Collier look like when she gets her legs looked under her and she's playing alongside Olivia Miles, who's looking like the runaway favorite? I mean, I don't even think you could put odds on the market anymore for how far away Olivia Miles is for Rookie of the Year. And honestly, if it wasn't one player that's just so much better than the rest of the league, she'd probably be in conversations for MVP as well. So the Minnesota Lynx and what they're able to do in the second half of the season, closer to that first half of the season, they weren't covering the lines, but now Nafisa Collier is back in the lineup. Does that defense get better, and do they make the push for a championship team? Because they're the runaway favorite right now. It's plus 115 odds to get the Minnesota Lynx to be to win the WNBA championship this year. So what does this Lynx team look like with Nafisa Collier back in the lineup?
Yeah, Terrell, you mentioned those odds, man. There's not a lot of value with Minnesota. Where is their value on the board for you in terms of a potential champion? The Liberty coming in at 7-1 are intriguing to me. Indiana, potentially, 18-1 if you're looking for a long shot. Who's got the value in your opinion?
I think the value, actually, if you're ever getting, 3-1 odds or more on the Aces, you probably want to take it just because they have the opportunity to get there every single year. They have the best player in the league, and this team is really, really solid, and that's when they play their best basketball, when they get into playoff time. So I'm never going to discredit anybody for saying that they want to go take an Aces bet. But the team that I'm looking at is the Atlanta Dream. I think the Atlanta Dream, with Bree Jones coming back into the lineup, and then they have their solidified five that can go in there and really attack and be strong inside of the paint and be able to kick out and open up that spacing to get the three-point shooters going on the outside with Ryan Howard, Alicia Gray, all of them getting easier looks on the outside with Bree Jones in. And then I know that Atlanta defense with Carl Smesko can really be good down the stretch. So I know they've struggled to get out the first round a couple of years, but this is the best Atlanta team that I think they've had. I think that they've had a rocky start to the season just because of a bunch of injuries. But now that Bree Jones is back, what does Atlanta look like? Because they're one of the teams that's like a 15-1 odds that I can see things breaking right for them in the playoffs and them coming out and being able to have a chance to get a win.
This is Live Bet Sunday. Femi Ebefe, Joe Serralo hanging out with Terrell Furman, WNBA betting analyst. Is great work for our friends with the Sports Gambling Podcast Network as well. And he's on Twitter at @ReallyRell__. I guess my question then to you is like, how long is your list of teams that can actually win the WNBA championship? Of course, like the Lynx are in consideration, the Aces, New York Liberty. I know it hasn't been the greatest start to this season for the Liberty, but they're the Liberty. They have the pedigree to do it. Golden State has been in the mix as a nice surprise. The Dream, who you just mentioned, the Fever, the Wings. Like, how long does the list go for you for teams that could actually win the title once we get to the postseason?
Well, I have it broken up into a couple of tiers already. And the teams that I think right now can go out there and win a championship is actually only two. It's the Minnesota Lynx and the Las Vegas Aces. Those are only two teams that I think can have it. The Liberty, I do not trust their coach. I have been the person on my podcast saying it all year that I think the coach is potentially a one-and-done coach. He's made too many mistakes in games in the regular season early on that I'm seeing like, hey, is this going to shore up by the time the end of the season comes around, playoffs come around? They have a lot of injuries going on. As much as I love Liberty, I don't know if this is the year for them. It seems like they have a lot of growing pains to work through. Whereas the Lynx and the Aces seem like they're going to be locked in, ready to go around that time. And then, like I said, the Dream. I think the Dream have a possibility. I think Indiana, if they can clean up things on the defensive side of ball, maybe. But that's really what it is for me because I just can't see Indiana playing any good defense. And that's ultimately what the problem is for the Dallas Wings as well, the defensive side of ball. You got to be able to go in there and play defense in the playoffs. And the Valkyries, as much as I love my Valkyries, and you should all be betting Valkyries first half every chance you get, by the way. But as much as I love my Valkyries, the offense isn't enough, and I need them to get a star, somebody that can go into the last second of games and get a bucket. They play great defense, but the scoring isn't enough. And in the playoffs, everybody is good. You're not going to get stops every single night. So it's really only a few teams, but my top three teams probably be that Lynx team, that Aces team, and then throw in Atlanta for a little long shot there.
Terrell, you spent a lot of time there talking about defense. How about the Defensive Player of the Year award as we look towards the second half here? Gabby Williams, pretty much a strong favorite, but still plus money, plus 110. Are you looking towards her or potentially the field, maybe another name out there?
Maybe it could be Asia Wilson. I don't know how you can watch how Asia Wilson is playing, especially if they go on a run in the second half. Oh, I've seen her go out and steal MVPs in the second half of the season with how good of a run she's been able to do. So, like, I don't really know, like, how I could discredit her for Defensive Player of the Year. Gabby, I think Gabby is solid, but I think Gabby, the thing that works against her is the fact that the defense overall for the Valkyries is really good. That was a great defense last year, and she came in and she's made them better. So, yeah, Gabby deserves to be a favorite. I wouldn't be surprised if Asia came out of nowhere, but outside of that, I don't know if anybody's going to have the momentum to get the votes as, like those two players right now.
Yeah, I was on the unfortunate end of that last year with the MVP with Asia Wilson. I was all a part of the MVP campaign. I was loaded up on Nafisa Collier. She gets hurt.
It was a lot of folks.
Asia Wilson then just goes off, and then all of a sudden we're just looking up there and being like, damn, I guess I lost all that money. Speaking of Asia Wilson, she, of course, is the odds-on favorite to win MVP. If she were not to win this award, who do you think could be the person to steal it from her? Is it just Paige Beckers? Could Caitlin Clark ever get in the conversation? Like Olivia Miles, the way she's been playing as a rookie, which we've seen Candace Parker win as a rookie. Like who would be the person to win the MVP if Asia Wilson were to stumble down the stretch? Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's not just silence. That's literally me answering the question.
It's already over for you. So it's already over in your opinion.
I know production was in the back like, oh, did we lose him? Did we lose him? Did we lose him? No, I don't have anything. I mean, when you watch her play, if you seriously watch her play on the court, it's like she's far and away better than the second best player in the league. I mean, in years past, that would have been Fee right there. You know, you might would have seen a Stewie up there in that leg. Like, she's far and away better than everybody else right now. Olivia Miles is doing great, but does that production come down in the second half of the season with emergence of Nafisa Collier coming back to the team? If she's able to keep going and the numbers just continue to go up and this team has a great trajectory, then yeah, if something traumatic were to happen to Asia Wilson, then maybe Olivia Miles. But like, it's so far and away right now to the point where it has to be an injury or something for us to even start having the conversation.
Now, sorry, I was looking at the Coach of the Year odds. You mentioned earlier that you're out on the Liberty. They're struggling here, obviously. Cheryl Reeve, a big favorite. Is it Minnesota? Their roster is so stacked. Does Reeve get all the credit? Or do you look down the line and say, you know, maybe there's another coach out there performing with less of a roster than Minnesota that you look to bet in that market?
I don't know. I think she's starting to kind of get all the credit. I don't know if I 100% agree with maybe it's runaway like this, but I could 100% see her getting all the credit. They potentially could be far and away the one seed right now. We'll see how they look and if they have some growing pains and maybe the chemistry just throw off. If I could throw out another name, Atlanta would have to pick it up for Smesko to be in the conversation. I think Jordy Fernandez down there in Dallas, if Dallas had some big second half push of the season, I think Jordy Fernandez probably could get a really good look there as somebody that just took a Dallas team that was just in the bottom of the basement for so many years. And now he's come in and he's gotten them to the playoffs. And that could be an angle that I could look at. But with Natalie Nicasse getting it last year, I don't think she's going to get it again. And I think that's probably why Cheryl Reeve is the favorite right now. But if the Valkyries finish as like a two, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they just say we might have to run it back with Nicasse, because that's way above expectation for the second year in a row.
Yeah. I mean, I think baseball might be the only sport where I've seen managers win back to back, like NFL, yeah. WNBA, NBA, like NHL. Like, you never see the back to back coach of the year. So we'll see if Nicasse can do it. I wouldn't bet it. I think that Reeve is going to be the one that ends up winning this thing, but the second half will ultimately decide how things unfold in the WNBA. He is Terrell Furman, WNBA betting analyst. His great work over at the Sports Gambling Podcast Network as well. And he's on Twitter at @ReallyRell__. Terrell, enjoy the second half of the WNBA season. I'm sure we'll be talking to you as we quickly head towards the postseason.
Appreciate y'all.
That is Terrell Furman joining us via the Progressive guest line. I think might have been dropping the mic there, literally. Yeah. Might have been the mic drop there. As he says that nobody else can contend with Asia Wilson. It's hard to argue. You know,
feel like a runaway race. It does. There.
Like, health is the only reason. If you could guarantee health, she would be -5,000 as opposed to -360. But you can't guarantee health. So you still got to hang a number. All right, we'll switch gears and talk a little NFL training camp when we come back here on Live Bet Sunday.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Whether you're betting futures, win totals, division races, MVP, rookie of the year, or Super Bowl odds, our guide helps you get ahead of the market before training camp begins. What kind of guide? It's the VSiN NFL betting guide, and it's already out now. Get it today with our football special for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get, with full access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, where you can see my Miami Vice themed outfit today. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. This is Live Bet Sunday. Some are calling it South Beach Sunday. Femi Bebefe, Joe Serralo here with you guys on VSiN. A couple of scores in Major League Baseball. I know, Joe, you are on the Seattle Mariners on the money line. They have a 5-3 lead. Bottom of the eighth, one out already. So, just got to get five more outs here for the M's. Hopefully they can get it done for you. I'm a noted Seattle Mariners fan. Joe is a noted Seattle Mariners fan for today. He has money on them.
This is a team that I really like. I love this Mariners team, and I want to bet them so often, but it's just that they're so damn inconsistent. Like, yeah, it's hard for me to actually pull the trigger on them. On paper, I'm like, oh, Brian Wu is pitching, let me fire. Gilbert's pitching, let me fire. But, you know, I mean, like, because look, they just put up a four spot, thankfully, against the Rangers bullpen. Mm-hmm. But this thing could have been ugly. Like, Gilbert went out there, pitched a fine, good game, and they had one run in like the first six or seven innings of action. So they're just so damn inconsistent. They should be a runaway first place team right now in that weak American League West. Yet here they are, some way, somehow, they're three games under 500 in the year of maybe the weakest American League we've ever seen. It's inexcusable how bad they've been this year.
I have never seen my favorite baseball team play in the World Series. And in fact, they've only made it the ALCS like twice. Like, it's been pretty rough, man. And like, what's so sad about it, because like, my childhood they had the coolest players on the team. Every kid loved Ken Griffey Jr. It's like, that's my child. It's Griffey. It's A-Rod. It's Big Unit. It's Edgar. Like, they had the coolest players. I mean, Jay Buhner, if you want to go down the line. Like, so many cool players.
Brett Boone juicing it up out there, too.
Yeah, that's when I started to become a little bit cynical. Brett Boone, yes, the 2001 squad with Ichiro, when he bursts onto the scene, 116 wins, only to be beaten five games by the Yankees in the ALCS. Like, that is my growing up with the sport of baseball. It's not even that it's been heartbreak. It's just been irrelevance. Last year, though, heartbreak. Game 7 against Toronto. That was heartbreaking. And I let out some words that I cannot let out on FCC airwaves. But like, it's just like, after that, at least from a betting standpoint, because like, my fandom will always be there. But from a betting standpoint, like, I have not bet at anything Mariners this whole season. Like, from a game-to-game standpoint, okay, I'll bet something. But like, long-term, to win the division, to win the pennant, to win the World Series, nope, can't do it. Because this time last year, I bet them to win the pennant around the deadline because they were going to be active, and they got active. And I had big prices that were so close to getting home, except for that game 7. And Dan Wilson decides, we're not going to go ahead and go to Andrés Muñoz. Let's save him for the ninth. Bro, you got to get to the ninth. like we're not saving. Yep. You got to get to the ninth. And that is the decision that will haunt him for the rest of his life, because he was a Mariners catcher, grew up with Dan Wilson. Like, everyone loves him, or at least loved him, because the streets of Seattle right now kind of want him fired as it currently stands. Ooh. But like, he was a fan favorite, so he's always been beloved. But that decision, man, they're gonna have to like win the pennant for people to forgive that decision, because it was so brutal in the moment, in real time. And then you see how it unfolded. Toronto comes back, they win game 7. And then you're sitting there watching Blue Jays Dodgers, when in my heart of hearts, fully believe we should have been watching Mariners Dodgers in the Fall Classic.
You know what's crazy is that you're 100% right. And I don't think that there's any fandom bias or anything there. Like, that World Series should have been Mariners Dodgers. Yep. But isn't it funny how things work? Like, Seattle should have beaten the Blue Jays in the ALCS. And then you get to the World Series and Toronto, the Blue Jays should have beaten the Dodgers. Yes. You know, I mean, it's just... it's funny. Some would say it's funny. Others would say it's sick and twisted.
Oh my goodness.
How things work. But yeah, it definitely is a funny way of working itself out. You know, I will say with Wilson, I completely agree with you. Going to Muñoz was like the obvious, you know, correct move there. But some things you can't pin on the manager. Cal Raleigh having the worst season imaginable.
Yeah.
You can't pin on Wilson. Like, what is broken with Cal Raleigh? Was this guy juicing last year? I mean, I don't know. Talk about a tale of two seasons. Like, you could not have drawn up a more drastic difference. I thought he should have been the MVP a year ago, and this year, he doesn't look like he deserves to even be in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, I mean, imagine how that MVP would have aged, right? Like he wins the MVP and then he follows it up with this. I know Judge is hurt, but prior to the injury, Judge was still one of the best batters in the American League. You know, like Judge was still doing Judge type stuff.
He was the runaway guy.
It was going to be Judge. And then like, when Judge got hurt, then like Yordan Alvarez is kind of taken off to be like clearing away the best batter in the big leagues. So that's why he's minus 350 to win the AL MVP. But yeah, man, it's just it's been a bummer of a season. Now, if they get into the playoffs, they get to October, I never take that for granted, because it's been like, outside of a handful of years ago, it had been a long time since the Mariners have been playing in playoff baseball. Yeah. So if they get to the playoffs, sweet, I'll be there. Soto, Mojo, let's go. But man, it's hard to be super optimistic about this team. And hopefully, at least for you today, that they get the job done, they win it. But long term, I'm not going to allow them to break my heart again, even though I'll probably be singing a different tune in October.
I think they got the deadline. What are we, like 8 days away? You think they just stand pat? You don't think they look to add to that lineup? Because the pitching, I mean, the thing with these pitchers, they're never good at the same time. Exactly. But like, you're not going to go out there to upgrade the rotation, right? Like, George Kirby's having an year, but you're not going to boot him. The lineup could clearly be upgraded, though. We're probably not going to get baseball next year, at least until the summertime. Like, you kind of, don't you have to go all in if you're the Mariners? You're two games out of first place after they win today?
You would hope. But like, they just don't really operate like that. Now, last year they did. Like, they kind of like say, they like, did. Let's go out there, and let's Suarez add some bats. Like, let's do it. And like, it never really came to fruition. But yeah. I'm guessing
Naylor was great. Suarez didn't really do a lot.
Naylor was a godsend. Like, Naylor was a godsend. Yeah. But it's just like, I don't anticipate them like being super aggressive. I think they're gonna like stand pat. evaluate Dan Wilson, and then make a decision at the end of the season. That's kind of what I feel like is going to happen with this team. And like
that
maybe
AL West is just
Means that maybe they sneak in as a wild card. Maybe they win the division. It's all on the table for them. Like they just got to start playing better baseball, and maybe hopefully that includes today. But like this isn't like as much as I feel like I'm doom and gloom on the Mariners. It's right on the table. Go take it. You know, like you're not 10 back. Yeah. Like you can easily win the division. So, yeah, I mean it's 5-4 right now in the top of the ninth. So they did give one back in the bottom side
of
the eighth.
On me here, yeah.
They really
they're
are.
Like, oh, Joe hasn't lost a bet since he got to Miami. Let's see if we could change that.
Here's the Mariners. Close it out with the M's. We absolutely love to see it. So hopefully they can hang on here. We do have just one other baseball game going on right now. That is between the Angels and the Giants. The Halos have a 4-0 lead in the bottom of the fifth, although the Giants do have runners on first and second with no out. So Jose Soriano in a little bit of trouble there in the bottom side of the fifth. Outside of that, though, no other baseball going on. Although, I guess I shouldn't say that. We do have the Savannah Bananas happening right now. I don't know where they're playing.
Is this
Wrigley?
Watch your mouth.
Is this Wrigley? Where are they at? Who did they sell out? One of the few sold out baseball games today, Joe. What do you mean? Watch my mouth.
Is that on TV right now?
On ESPN, man. Just turn around and turn that TV on behind you.
I've got my view of the harbor and all these boats and yachts out of my window. I'd rather look at that than the Savannah Bananas. I'm sorry.
They're taking on. We got the Savannah Bananas versus the Firefighters.
I was just going to say, are they playing the Firefighters again?
Yeah.
Like they do every day? I mean, I
went to see them 3 years ago. Who the hell was it? It was the Party Animals. That's who they were playing that day. They were playing the Party Animals. So I don't know however many other teams that they got, but they sold out Wrigley. Wrigley's pretty lit. You know,
I've had friends send me stuff about like Savannah Bananas are having tryouts.
You should
like,
go.
Oh, you should do this. That would be so embarrassing to me. There is no chance that I would ever, ever consider doing that. I think that they're a joke. I mean, kids love it. It's great business venture. I mean, they make money, but I thought that opening number, and yes, I'm calling it a number, whatever the hell they did at the ESPYs was disastrous. Like they're trying to be Troy Bolton here, like High School Musical. I feel like it's gotten old quickly.
You're just not the audience. You're just not the audience. And sometimes,
I am definitely not the audience.
Sometimes it's okay if you're not the audience. You won't try out for the Savannah Bananas, but we do have Love Island casting open. So like we do need that application.
Season 9.
We need that application filled out stat, Joe. We need that application filled out. So we can get
you.
Could
you imagine that? Our audience could potentially bet on me on the prediction markets.
It'll be Veasan come circle.
Could you imagine the audience betting on me on call sheet to win Love Island next year? I can't believe they're casting already. It's not filming for another 10, 11 months.
We'll be jamming it in because you vote on who you want to stay, right? We'll be jamming in Joe bets. Yeah, we'll be on the voting. I don't know if it's a text message rate supply or whatever.
Pause
but I'll
the
be
whole, we'll be jamming it in Joe. Like, let's take it easy with that.
It's a different kind of island. We'll be back with more on Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSEN, the sports betting network.
Yeah, how about a little Soto Mojo as we come back from break? This is Live Bet Sunday. Femi Bebefe, Joe Serralo, the Seattle Mariners. Well, insurance runs here. I think there was Dominic Canzone that just drove in Julio Rodriguez. So it is now 6-4 Mariners in the top of the ninth. And they got Canzone right now on second with one away. So Seattle doing they're putting in their work, man. They're trying to get you to the window with that plus 105 to keep the win streak rolling while you're down there in South Beach.
Hey, things we love to see, man. Canzone, mm-hmm. my paisan, trying to help me out here a little bit. We can get him in, make it 7-4. It'll be then I'll be comfortable as we get ready for Sunday night baseball. This Phillies Yankees tilt.
Oh yeah, no, that's gonna be a fun one. Phillies and the Yankees. Christopher Sanchez on the mound as he is trying to stay in this NL Cy Young race, which is being led by the Miz Kid. As after he just continues to put together just ridiculous performances. Only went 5 innings today, but I mean, 5 innings, if you're going to strike out like 14 or whatever the hell it was, I mean, that'll do, you know?
He's insane.
That'll do.
I mean, he is just, what are they, 12 of his first 14 batters put down with a strikeout, 11 of his first 12, 12 of 14, finishes with 12, 83 pitches. I mean, how do you have 12 strikeouts and you're so efficient and economical that you do it on 83 pitches?
But K's per nine has to be like a ridiculous number at this point for him.
Oh, he's, yeah.
It's absurd.
You know, the only thing I'm worried about with the Cy Young race is the way that it appears they might be limiting him here in the second half.
But if he can get it done in five innings.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. If you're striking out two guys an inning, like if you're putting up numbers like 18 Ks per nine in the second half, I mean, he's insane. To me, it does feel like a runaway race. If he stays healthy, it is a runaway race. I can't see Christopher Sanchez, Zach Wheeler, anyone else out there competing. I would say if you're looking for value, you know, and I never want to handicap like a guy getting hurt, but mm-hmm. if you just want to have an insurance policy in your back pocket in case with an innings restriction or, you know, with a guy throwing 105 miles per hour, something does go wrong there, I wouldn't even look to Sanchez. I'd look to his teammate, Zach Wheeler.
I think Wheeler's the sentimental favorite. I think like if, because Mizorowski is the guy that could kind of put it out of reach to where like, hey, like we don't care that the writers all want to vote for Wheeler, like he's just too good. But if Miz falls off, Wheeler feels like he's the guy that picks up the pieces because he's never won it before. He's finished like top two or top three a bunch of times. Like I think also the story of him being like an all-star snub adds to the lore. He feels a lot to me like how Matthew Stafford was this past NFL season, where like the voters just wanted to vote for Matthew Stafford.
I see it.
Like, you know, like it didn't matter what happened. They wanted to vote for him. Or 2 years ago when they just wanted to vote for Josh Allen. Like, hey, like
the Mets traded a Carlos Beltran, who got inducted into the Hall of Fame today, by the way.
Yes. Congratulations.
Way past his prime for Zach Wheeler. Yep. And they let him go to their division rival.
Hey man.
Brutal.
At least they got Soto. It was on the IL now.
On the IL with a calf strain, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that is so brutal. Watching Zach Wheeler at 38, like in the 2015 Mets, when they had like the Sports Illustrated cover and it was DeGrom and Harvey and Syndergaard and Steven Matz and Zach Wheeler. Wheeler was like the fifth guy out, right? Like Matz and Syndergaard weren't as proven, but
Harvey was a big deal back Wheeler, then, man.
Yeah, I mean, Wheeler had beat him to the bigs, but like those guys were young and they were up and coming. And Wheeler was, his MO was like, he struggles to stay healthy, struggles to throw strikes, you know, and he's, I would say maybe had the best career out of those guys. I know DeGrom's got the two Cy Youngs. You can make the argument DeGrom versus Wheeler, but Wheeler's been out there, you know, much more longevity. He's stayed healthier than DeGrom. You give me Wheeler since he went to Philly the past few years versus like DeGrom post 2020. I mean, the answer is Wheeler clearing away.
Because DeGrom, he really wasn't a part of that Texas team that won. He came back, but like was kind of.
No, like, he made like three starts in April. He didn't even pitch in the postseason. Yeah, he was like, gone. He was out for the year.
He was like a cheerleader, essentially. And then they won the World Series.
Yeah.
But like, he's
got a ring, but he did nothing for it.
He's a World Series champion, technically. But
crazy.
I understand what you're saying with Wheeler. I think sometimes I think of things of like these guys at their peak. Like peak DeGrom was special. Like peak DeGrom it was just like, dude, like you just can't hit this guy. Like this is unreal what he's doing. And like Wheeler has the longevity and Wheeler's been really good. But like you tell me I get DeGrom on his best day or Wheeler on his best day. Who do I want? I'm taking Jacob DeGrom. That's who I'm taking.
Well, yeah, I mean, DeGrom on his best day, you know, again, like 8 years ago for sure. But the last half decade. It's definitely Zach Wheeler has been way better. I mean, DeGrom hasn't stayed out there. He was pretty good last year. This year, DeGrom has been, you know, 7-6 with an ERA up near four. Like he's been nothing to write home about. I will say DeGrom's best work came, I think, in a season where he didn't even win the Cy Young. He's got two Cy Youngs back to back. His best work was 2021, where in 15 starts, he was putting up numbers we hadn't seen since Bob Gibson in 68. They had to lower the mound because of what Gibson did. DeGrom 2021 had like the 0.5 whip. He had the sub one ERA. I mean, he was just insane. His Ks per nine were like 15, 16 of them. And then he gets hurt late June in a start coincidentally against the Phillies and doesn't come back. Still got Cy Young votes that year for what he did in 15 starts. So since then though, just never been the same.
It's truly unfortunate. And they're like, you're never guaranteed health with any of these sports, but it's like, I wish we saw like at least like a moderately healthy career for Jacob DeGrom. Because like the injury bug has been just destroying him. Like you mentioned, the last half decade or so. Like if we at least got like a decent amount of health, what would it have looked like for the entirety of his career? But yeah, that's life. That's sports sometimes, you know, just it doesn't work out for some guys.
That's baseball, Susan.
Yeah, it's baseball, Susan. I mean, I guess obviously it worked out individually for him and it worked out. He did get a ring, even though he was kind of a cheerleader, but like individually, he's won multiple Cy Youngs.
That's the crazy part.
Like, so like, I'm sure he doesn't look back at his career with like any regrets because like he's got the Cy Youngs. He's now a World Series champion, but there's maybe a little bit of deep down inside where he's like, man, like what could I have been if I had at least had good health? Like, could I have been like just like an all time great? Because it felt like he was on that trajectory, but just didn't hold up.
Well, I think you definitely look back with some, you know, I don't know if regret is the right word because like, it's not like the injuries are his fault, but I definitely think that there is some what could have been because, you know, if you think about it, his health, that isn't the difference, you know, between like, we all know how talented he is, but that could be the difference between him being a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Right? People say that two Cy Youngs versus a third. 2021, he stays healthy. He runs away with a Cy Young. You have three. It's wrap it up. You know, it's over. You win the Cy Young if you have a third one. So that could be the difference between a guy who we talk about and we say, oh, at his peak, he was incredible versus a guy who is in Cooperstown. And, you know, I know that the bar is moving and it's getting lower in terms of wins and certain statistics to get into the Hall of Fame, but 38 years old, only 103 wins. He just got his 100th win this season in his age 38 season. Like, I don't think the way things stand right now, DeGrom is going to be a Hall of Famer. And I think, you know, if he had stayed healthy in 2021, different story. He definitely is. You know, if he had maybe pitched the Mets to a ring in 2015, where it's funny how things work, right? He gets a ring when he made three starts the entire season for Texas and did nothing in the playoffs. 2015, he's incredible in that postseason rotation for the Mets, comes up just short. Like, I do think there are some regrets. And I do think if you talk to athletes, it actually might, he's got the ring. I think it hurts a little that that he did nothing to get that ring.
Yeah. It's like, here's three starts, you got hurt. And it was always, well, wait till they get DeGrom back. What if he never comes back? And what if they just still win?
Yeah.
Which is kind of how that Texas
Rangers
story
kills went. Those guys on the inside a little bit, not contributing to a World Series ring.
Oh, it'd have to. It'd have to, because like, man, like I didn't actually get to pitch in the World Series. Like, I have a World Series ring, but I didn't get to pitch, in, at least in a winning World Series. Like, obviously 2015 or whatever, but like, I didn't get to pitch and win the World Series. I was more so in the dugout next to Bruce Bochy, being like, "Hey, good job, Adolis Garcia! Yay!" You know, like, more so doing that kind of thing. We will be saying yay in a couple of weeks when the NFL preseason begins, because this, folks, is your last chance to lock in the early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 before the price goes up next week. You're going to get instant access to our NFL betting guide covering futures, win totals, division races, and player props. Then on August 3rd, mark this down, you'll get our college football betting guide with previews of all 138 FBS teams, preseason power ratings, and best bets from VSiN experts. You'll also get, I mean, we're giving you damn near the whole store, the Fantasy Life Fantasy Football Guide, featuring over 425 player profiles, projections, and rankings. Get full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl with the daily best bets, the real-time betting splits, the AI-powered prop projections, and 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app before the price goes up on August 1st. It's like rent. Get it in before the 1st, guys. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. We have been teasing it. We have been hinting at it. But on the other side, Joe and I will discuss NFL training camp. Because, folks, we got teams on the practice field. And by Tuesday, all 32 of them will have reported to training camp. Football season no longer around the corner. Football season is right here, and it's next on Live Bet Sunday.
This is Live Bet Sunday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back. We are moments away from Jackson Koivin winning the 3M Open. For those of you who have bet the PGA Tour, this is Femi Bebfe and Joe Serralo here with you guys on Live Bet Sunday. Jackson Koivun going for PGA Tour win number one. A lot of folks here on 18 hovering around him, wanting to get those images of his first win, as everyone is, of course, projecting forward that he will be golf's next superstar. And four events into his PGA Tour career, he holds out for the birdie, or for the par putt rather, and does it in style, as 25 under is your winning score at the 3M Open. Jackson Koivun, congrats to those of you who bet him pre-tournament, who bet him all throughout the tournament. That young man, I believe we just saw the first of many victories in his golf career.
Yeah, I mean, not much, frankly, for me to add on that, but congrats to him. And I got to be honest, Femi, once the majors are done, I stop following golf.
I'm, Jose, who the hell definition is of a Koivun? Casual. Do we need to call Gary? Preston, get Gary Williams on the phone. All right, so he can.
Why is Gary not joining us today? What the hell's up with that, man?
He actually tried. Preston tried to get Gary. Gary, like most people who cover golf, after the final major, take vacation. So Gary Williams of SiriusXM, Five Clubs is his show. If you don't know, check it out. He's an awesome guy. We love having him on the program. But Gary was not available on this Sunday to put into context what this Jackson Koivun victory means.
Shout out to Gary. Shout out to Jackson Koivun, someone who I had never heard of up until today.
And then here's Emiliano Grillo to round things out here.
Another guy I never heard of until today.
And he, of course, his putt is going to lip out. I know a lot of people here at the network did like Emiliano to win this tournament. Instead, he will finish at 19 under. So he goes top 10. We were not able to fire up the Grillo this week. Instead, it is Jackson Koivun who gets it done at the 3M Open over at TPC Twin Cities in Blaine, Minnesota. And that will then wrap up our PGA Tour coverage. All right, let's get to real stuff here, Joe.
What's the purse? Real quick, what's the purse on that? Do you know offhand?
Hell no. I know it's not a signature event, so it's probably not a whole lot. Hopefully Jackson got some nice coin.
Purse is just shy of 9 mil, 8.8 mil.
So the winner then gets what? Like probably like just under like a mil or something like that? Or maybe the winner gets like a million?
That's it? A mil at 21 ain't too bad.
Yeah, and then you also have like a bunch of other guys you got to pay out as well, because like everyone that makes the cut gets something. Now, obviously, you're probably only get like, if you're Fabian Gomez, who finished 66th, like you're probably getting like 50K, I'm assuming, or something like that. But I would guess that it's probably like somewhere around a million for Jackson Koivun. Since it's
50K to finish 66th. I mean, it's not life changing, but shoot. Hey, man. I'll take 50K to finish 66th on a weekend.
Hell yeah. Anybody would, you know? 50,
right?
Especially to finish 66th? Shoot. Like, man, it was 50K hit.
Some of these score, I mean, six guys, 20 under par.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Muni course.
One of those tournaments.
Yeah, it's a Muni course. Mickey Mouse course, whatever you want to call it. Right. People were, I mean, we saw Michael Kim on Friday shoot a 59. Like that's the kind of course that this was. Michael Kim today shot a 69. Not so nice for me, someone who bet on him to win this tournament. So that will wrap up our PGA Tour coverage here on Live Bet Sunday to the Rocket Classic next Sunday, Joe, in Detroit, Michigan, where I'm sure you will be locked in on that one. Yes.
Can't wait.
Can Jackson Koivun go back to back? I don't know if he'll be playing in that tournament, but if he is, we will be discussing it this time next week. All right, let's talk about.
If I was 21 and I just got $1 million, I would not be going to Detroit in 5 days. That's for sure.
We know you'd be
in a lot of other places.
You'd be in Miami. You know?
Yes, Miami. Exactly.
You'd be hanging out in
Miami just ripping bets on the Mariners on a Sunday afternoon before I go to live.
As one does. Also, like real quick with that game, are we all good here? Are we done? Or what's – I'm sure they're showing replay, so I'm not sure what the score is. Looks like DraftKings took it off, so I'm assuming the Mariners –
We've got won. A final.
Okay, we got a final.
Seattle,
there we go.
6-4.
Boom. Soto Mojo. Let's go.
6-0 in Miami, man. Let's make it lucky sevens with Sunday Night Baseball.
Refuse to lose, Seattle Mariners. That is Joe giving you a tease that he has a bet in the Peacock game of the night. Yankees at the Phillies, Will Warren versus Christopher Sanchez. So we talked about it all throughout the spring and early summer. You were always critical of the games that were on this Sunday night Peacock. And I said, they're saving the good stuff for when all the other sports are done. And now look at it. Now we got Yankees Phils, you know?
There were a lot. There were too many. When you had the Kansas City Royals on Sunday Night Baseball three straight weeks, that was inexcusable. I don't care. All right. There's no reason that it's got to be one or the other. There's no reason it's got to be a good game on April 19th or July 26th. Get the Kansas City Royals out of primetime, please and thank you.
Hey, man, maybe people want to see Bobby Witt Jr., all right? You know, Jack Cags, yeah. Caglione, yeah, you know, everyone's excited about him.
That's all good and well. Huh? You want to watch Jack Caglione and Vinny Pasquantino watch the World Baseball Classic, fire up the espresso machine and root for Team Italy. I don't need the freaking Kansas City Royals on Sunday Night Baseball.
Forza Italia.
Royals Twins in April? No.
Let's go. The Royals really are Team Italy, huh? With Cags and Pasquantino.
Caglione, Pasquantino.
Oh my gosh. The World Baseball Classic. And noted Dominican Austin Wells for the Dominican
Republic. They got a catcher named Sal. That's pretty Italian. Even though he's, you know, Sal Perez is Latino. Like having a catcher named Sal is pretty freaking Italian.
I said, what's your catcher's name? Sal.
Sal.
What about the guy in the outfield?
No one's going to guess Venezuelan off the rip. I mean, when you say Perez, yeah, but no one's going to guess Venezuelan off the rip when you say my catcher's name is Fat Sal, you know?
Pasquatch, he plays what, first, right? It's like, what's your first baseman's name? Yeah. Vinny Pasquantino. Yeah. Okay. All right. that's the Kansas City Royals breakdown for you.
You got Sal, Pasquantino, and Caglione. I mean, it's...
Team Italy.
Play the Goodfellas music. Can someone in the back play the Goodfellas music?
Which one? There's so many tracks that you could go to. You know, is it the one where he's walking into the Copacabana, you know, which is like one of the great cinematic scenes in history? You know, it's like, it's like, you're always here. It's always you. It's just like, I'm like, dude, this looks like the coolest person on the planet right now. Like this guy's awesome. With that being said, the coolest thing on the planet, of course, is NFL football. And training camp is underway. We have six teams that have reported training camp. That is rookies and veterans. There have been some teams that have reported the rookies. I don't count that. You got to have the veterans there as well. Six teams, rookies, vets, who are at training camp. This past Wednesday, Cardinals and Panthers reported. On Friday, it was the Patriots and the Seahawks. That'll be the opening night game, by the way. And then yesterday, it was the 49ers and the Rams to kind of give us this NFC West flavor. All the NFC West teams have already gone camping. And it's a division that I think we're going to be talking about a lot throughout this NFL season. Probably not so much about the Cardinals, although the Cardinals did make news today, Joe, signing Jacoby Brissett to a one-year $15.5 million deal with a chance to get up to $21 million. Brissett and the Cardinals had kind of been going back and forth in negotiations. I think Jacoby wanted a little bit more money to be the human pinata for their tank off, which I totally understand. If I were him, I'd want more money as well to get the bleep kicked out of me on this 2026 Cardinals team. But he gets his money. Both sides are happy. Probably hurts the chances for those of you who maybe bet Carson Beck for Offensive Rookie of the Year. But the Cardinals will likely be your last place team in a division that has a Super Bowl.
You made that bet. You deserve to lose. I'm sorry.
People make speculative bets. I did not make that bet, but I know some people out there were like, oh, Carson Beck, if they, you know, things get off the rails with Brissett. I'm like, I'm not so sure I would do that. Yeah, I think he sucks too.
Yeah.
But hey, yeah. We could be wrong. I have to open up the idea to at least being wrong. But my personal opinion, I've never been impressed with Carson Beck.
I'm low on Sid the Sloth.
Sid the Sloth. Wow. Just throwing shade on him, huh?
No, thank you. Yeah, I am so out on Carson Beck. I'm like the Cavender girls. I'm out on Carson Beck.
Cavender girls, one of them at least is in on Jake Ferguson of the Dallas Cowboys as they got married this
Jake
past
Ferguson
summer.
Jake Ferguson can ball. Carson Beck can't ball.
Yeah, Fergie Ferg out there. They had a ranch dressing like fountain at the wedding because I guess Jake Ferguson is like really into ranch. I didn't even know
they were married.
The only reason I saw this is, of course, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Like people, Cowboys fans are retweeting this onto the timeline. But yes, ranch dressing is Jake Ferguson's preferred condiment. I've never heard of a ranch dressing. I guess like, do you like take your chicken wing and then you put it under the fountain and then pull it out and then you're good to go? Like, what, a slice of pizza?
I'm good on ranch, man. I'm not a big ranch guy.
Not a big ranch guy.
I know people might look at my other habits and go, oh, what a white girl. Nah, I'm not a big ranch guy. That's
so you're team blue cheese for the chicken wings,
blue or are you cheese anti for wings.
Okay, so blue cheese for the wings. Okay.
No, blue cheese for wings, like a real man. And then as far as other condiments, like, I don't know. I could drink honey mustard, but ranch, wow. I'm good. I'm good on ranch.
What do you put? So are you, cause like chicken fingers obviously is like
anything, dude, I'll put it on my fingers and like lick it off. Honey mustard, any excuse to put honey mustard on anything. That is the preferred condiment.
Can we just clip the video clip of Joe with the middle finger and index finger together and saying, I'll put it on my finger, man, and lick it off. Can we just clip that, please? Someone behind the glass, get to work on that.
And then we can put that on Sunday. There is one baseball game on for a live bet Sunday.
Hey, man, nobody better to do a show when there's only one game on than us. I'll tell you that. Nobody better. We'll keep it entertaining. I promise we'll talk about the NFC West as we kick off hour number 4 next year on VSiN.